Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the You Should Run podcast. My name is Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania. And if you've listened to this podcast before, you know I've talked with people from every state, from Maine to Hawaii, Alaska to Florida, all points in between, from borough council like myself or school board all the way up to U.S. Senate. And as I've said many times, I think the most important politics, whether in good ways or bad ways, they're all happening on the state legislative level. You can see some really positive things happening in states like Michigan and Minnesota, and then some not-so-great things happening in states like Montana, Missouri, and famously Florida, where my guest is from today. His name is Christopher Proya. He is running for the state Senate in Florida. He has a working-class background. He has a background in being a comedian as well. So we'll see if I laugh or not. Maybe if I'm laughing, it means he's earned it. We'll find out. He's a caretaker for his mother. And most importantly, he is a real person who cares about real problems and wants to find solutions as opposed to some of the things we've seen in Florida politics lately. So I'm excited to talk to him, learn more about Florida and why he's running. So Chris, thanks for talking today.
Thank you for having me, Tony. Yeah, we're pretty famous for all the wrong reasons. You know, our governor is famously getting spanked by a mouse a lot. So that's one of the bad things about living in Florida. But I'm hoping to change that. You know, I'm running for Florida State Senate, and I'm a working-class blue-collar guy. Just, you know, trying to make a difference. You know, my friend Cornelius, he's also running for Florida House. He said a lot of the time that if you're not seated at the table, then you're on the menu. And that's something that we in Florida on the blue side, we're trying to get in and change. So thank you for having me today.
Well, you're on the blue side. You're wearing two blue shirts. I'm wearing a blue shirt. I think that just happened by happenstance. You know, I always ask people, have you always been politically minded? Has politics always been important to you? Or is it something that happened in the state or national politics that kind of encouraged you to be more than just going to vote?
No, I mean, I only recently in the last couple of years have become super politically active. Before that, I used to drive over the road for about a year and you're bored in the back of the truck. So that's kind of when Facebook was really taking off. So I got a little bit of a sense of like national issues, like healthcare, immigration, that kind of thing. But like to run for office, I never really had it in mind up until a couple of years ago that would be something that I couldn't even do, you know, because I thought I was just a regular guy. You know, why am I going to try to run for office? But what happened was a couple of years ago, I was on Facebook and I saw this thing that said Drinks for Democracy. Come meet your local leaders and have a beer with them and see if you want, you know, if about local activities. I was like, all right, that sounds like a good idea. And I met the person that was running against Byron Donalds then, and she was telling me that locally we don't have the Democrats to run for office, and that people are kind of scared in this area that they didn't want to run. Well, I'm 6'1", I'm a 350-pound dude, so it takes a lot to scare me. So that's she said that she would help me with all the politics and the intricacies of it, but that she would get me started, and that's basically what got me started in my journey to actually run. Now that I've been in it for a while, I'm trying to do the same thing to other people because there's really not that much to be scared of, to be honest with you. And once you dispel that, you start building a team, and that's what we're doing around here. We're building a team, we're getting the people in the seats, and we're getting them pushed forward so that we can flip Florida blue.
So, like you said, you're just a regular person. I think everyone thinks they're a regular person, no matter what. Like, you know, if you're a high-priced lawyer, you think you're a regular person. It's like, well, nothing against you, but like maybe there's a difference. But once you meet some of these people in politics, which you have, doesn't that, like you said, it doesn't become as scary anymore. It almost says, oh, anyone could do this. I see these people doing it, right?
Yeah, that's the one thing I want to bring to people, because I'm just a truck driver. I'm just a landscaper, but I'm still running for office and making a difference. And people are seeing that. And it really feels good because we're on the right side of history. So when you actually start to make a difference, you get that confidence to be like, yes, I can actually do this. And it feels good. It really does. So,
well, like you said, you've been following up on certain issues for a while now, like healthcare and the environment and things happening. But what kind of issues really kind of motivate you? Because these days in politics, everything is a political issue. So was there anything in particular that kind of may seem more important to you as just a regular voter and someone getting involved?
Yeah, to me, healthcare is a major issue. I believe in universal healthcare. Basically, because the facts have proven it to be a better system. We don't even have to wait in Florida for the rest of the country to get universal health care. We can just expand Medicaid here in Florida because most of our people are already on it and make it so that, you know, we don't have to have co-pays every time we go to see a doctor or a specialist or this, that, and the other. Mental issues are always a big deal. So we can expand that to include mental issues, hearing issues. I'm half deaf myself. So hearing is a big thing for me, and it's not in any of the current healthcare programs that we have, and it should be. It's a health issue. Mm-hmm. Eyesight, dental, you know, all of that's missing, and that should be included in everything. Another thing for Florida, affordable housing. In Florida, we have some of the highest house prices in the country and some of the highest housing insurance because of all the hurricanes. My opponent has said in a Business People United Political Action Committee meeting, he has said that don't count on him to help lower housing insurance. If you have housing insurance, you probably had your house for a while. You should just sell your house and move to a place that's more affordable. Yeah, my opponent has said that. I have plenty of people on record saying that he said that. I unfortunately didn't hear it myself, but the person that's running for U.S. House right now, she was in that meeting. The current vice chair of our local Democratic Party, she was in that meeting, and they both heard that. And I got a text real early in the morning that said, this is what your opponent said. Could you believe it? Yeah, probably could.
Yeah, I was just a few weeks ago talked with my friend Chris Massicott. He's running for county commissioner in Monroe County, Florida. And he said, like, Republicans have been in charge in their county government for a long time. You're talking about both in state legislature and Congress and other things in your county. Do you see a sense of complacency where maybe they don't feel like they're challenged, so they can just get away and do whatever they want.
Right, yeah, you're absolutely right. Because here in Florida, in the state legislature, our state has been a trifecta for like 20 out of the last 25 years. And it's been a Republican majority for like 25 out of the last 30 years. I believe my numbers are right there. They might be a little off, but basically they've been a Republican majority for a long, long time. And they don't feel like they're challenged, especially this area, which is Lee County, and the area south of me, which is Collier County, super majority Republican. So they feel like they have the run of the place and they don't really need to politic all that much. So that's why I said our opponents here are uniquely bad. They're just a rubber stamp for DeSantis to make the policies that he wants to go. And yeah. I personally think people are sick of it and they're ready for a change.
So when you say that, like, it's a super Republican area, you have to win those people over. Obviously they're voting for Republicans. So what are you going, like, how do you sell yourself? How are you able to convince them that they should look somewhere else? Do you think Democrats have an opportunity based on the complacency of the Republican Party politicians?
Yes, not only that, it seems to me, have you heard of the app Reach?
No.
Okay, so there's an app that the Florida Democratic Party has been using called Reach. It's basically like a vote builder type app. It'll look up voters, let people know what party they are, who their candidates are, not the candidates, what district they're in. So basically from that you can extract who the candidates are. And basically all kinds of voter information for Florida. I believe it's in other states as well. But when I look up people in reach to find out who, like, their house person is or that kind of thing, because I don't know the house districts too well.
Yeah.
A lot of the times it'll say Republican on the app, and people will say, well, I've never registered as a Republican. I registered as an NPA, or mm-hmm. I registered as a Democrat. So we think that, we don't have proof of this quite yet, but we think that when you register and you say, I don't know that much, people will just mark you down as a Republican here. Barring that, you know, like I said, Republicans are getting worse and worse as far as their policies go, and people are ready for a change. We're building a team here now of very strong candidates. We have pretty much all of our state senate locally and our state houses seats filled, and we're filling in the county and the city level seats right now. We're focusing on team building. We're focusing on having a good time, and we're just ready to take this, you know, to the next level and flip, like I said, flip Florida blue.
So I think it's really important, the state legislative battles, to make sure that there's not there's no seat left uncontested. The podcast is called mm-hmm. You Should Run. You seem like you've been talking with people. How have you encouraged others to run for office then?
Well, being a regular blue-collar guy helps a lot, you know. I'm a half-deaf guy. I have 3 jobs already. I'm doing politics now. And people are seeing that it's achievable.
Mm-hmm.
And the more that we can show people that, the more they're interested in actually stepping up and making a change for their local community. The big wigs of, like, the president and the U.S. Senate, U.S. House, all that's fancy and whatnot, but when you run locally, you make more changes. And we're putting that out there and showing people that this is how it's done and why it's important to run.
Now, you mentioned Congressman Donalds. He's, very far right. And the previous congressman wasn't as bad as him, right? Like, he kind of took that in a further right direction when he won. And he's involved in all these culture war issues. He's really connected to Moms for Liberty and that stuff. Do you think that the people that are registered or have voted Republican in your area, do you think that there's enough of them that are kind of turned off by that kind of direction of the Republican Party?
I do. One of the things that I like to tell people personally is, as bad as the culture wars are, they are just a distraction. People cannot afford to eat or live or have a house or pay for their kids' health care these days. And our Republican congressmen across the board, not just in Florida, but all across the board, don't want to focus on that. They want to focus on the Brown family coming up from the South that are trying to make a better living for themselves. They want to focus on, you know, the guy in the dress in the bathroom. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, people in the bathroom, they're not.
People just need to go to the bathroom sometimes.
Republicans, yeah. They're making a big deal out of nothing, when the big deal is that nobody can afford to eat or live.
Right.
And when I put it that way, people are like, oh, yeah, you know, we should focus on that more than this, you know?
Yeah, I've talked with some people in other states, because it seems like state legislatures are the worst place for politics these days. More so than local, like me, because everyone knows their neighbor. Worse than Congress, even as bad as that is. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like issues like affordable housing, there is opportunity to kind of, work across the aisle. I've heard from people in Montana who, not that it was great, but they had at least conversations. Do you think there's opportunity to work on affordable housing, or is it only going to work if you flip enough seats?
There's definitely opportunity to work on affordable housing, even if it's a 50-50 or a majority red, because when you show people that you're, like, if I got in, but it's a majority red district or state house, then I would be showing people that I'm working on bills to make housing more affordable, why those bills would work, and who's standing in the way of it. You know, because that's basically how Congress or how bills get passed. You know, you need a bill, you have to show why it would work and why what it's going to fix and who is actually standing in the way of it. So I've been to a couple of big Democratic events already, and I've already met the state senator that I would be working with on our side.
Mm-hmm.
And I would take those same skills and use it to meet Republicans and independents and make sure that we have bills to pass.
So when it comes to affordable housing, it sounds like such an easy thing to do, but obviously it's not. You have talked with people. What are some of your ideas or things you've heard that you would try to address? You talk about insurance issues being a really big problem. I'm facing that myself in Pennsylvania, and I know it's even worse in Florida. So what are some things that you think you could do to make a difference?
We could definitely shore up citizens, which is the governmental program, make that more affordable and bring insurance down for everybody. We could shore up and fund programs to get the homeless off the street and make sure that they have a place to live so that they can go get a job and that kind of thing. And I think another thing is working with developers. Developers right now have a blank check to do whatever they want. So they just go, okay, well, we're going to build luxury housing because that brings in the most profit. But they can't keep doing that. You know, we need affordable housing for working class people and bring those prices down a little bit. So when we get in there, that's the kind of thing that we're going to do.
So I think some of that might be like incentives, like so tax incentives or approval incentives, like things that you could do to like, because if I wasn't a developer and you said you have to make cheaper housing, but I know I can go somewhere else to make more money, I would just go to make more money. So like, are you looking at like creative ideas from your other colleagues?
Yeah, we could do that as well. But Florida is so beautiful, especially when we take care of our environment, which I'm sure we'll get into later. But, you know, Florida is uniquely beautiful. People want to come to Florida. So the business is going to be here. So if we say that you have to have, you know, 40% worker housing to 60% luxury or something like that, then they're going to have to abide by that, you know. But, yeah, having incentives, having the carrot is good, but you also have to have the stick as well.
Yeah.
You know, unfettered capitalism isn't all that it's cracked up to be. And that's why we need the rules to make sure that we have the housing to put workers into shelter, basically.
And the rules only work if everyone's following the same rules. You mentioned right. about the environment. I talked with, like I said, Chris a few weeks ago in Monroe County. And it feels like, I mean, you could tell me if I'm wrong, but every part of Florida has its own unique environment, and the environment's important to every part of Florida. Like, whether you're in a city, by the ocean, anywhere in Florida, like, the environment's very important, whether it's because of climate or just other things. What are some of the things that you know that the legislature's not doing a good enough job on that you want to work on to help Florida's environment?
You're right about that. Every part of Florida is different environmentally, and we all have our own unique issues. I do know, like up north, they have stacks of gypsum that they need to get rid of that are messing up the environment up there. But down here, we don't really have that issue. Our big issue is the releases from Lake Okeechobee,
mm-hmm.
and that water basically comes out of the Gloucestershire River, which is through my district, and it basically turns the water a very nasty color of brown. And, you know, we got to make sure that we're working with the Army Corps of Engineers and local scientists to whatever we can do to clean that water up. I'm a working class guy, so I don't know all the science behind it,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that I have scientists that are in my cell phone and that I'm talking to that know what they're doing. And when I get in office, I will be working with those people to do the best that we can for our environment. I do know that in state legislature, they're trying to put in a bunch of preemptions, which are basically like, the state makes rules and the city can't make rules that supersede the state like they can now. Like, if Key West doesn't want to have plastic straws throughout Key West, the state wants to make it so where they have to have those things. Locally in my area, we have a fertilizer problem. We want to like kind of ban fertilizer, but the state is saying we cannot do that because they want to have all kinds of fertilizer, and that's what's causing a lot of the blue-green algae problems and the problems with our water that we do have. So we're going to make sure that local governments can take care of local problems. And yeah, pretty much.
From what I've heard, and I'm not in Florida, but it sounds like there's a pushback from the governor, from the legislature, to even acknowledge that climate is a thing, that it's real. Not even climate change, just like the climate is a thing. There's a lot of denialism about science. Is that something you've seen? And, you know, is that something that you could change in the legislature?
That's definitely something I can change in the legislature. You know, there is money that's still sitting from Hurricane Ian that Congressman Donald hasn't touched. I know that the candidate, Carrie Lerner, is working on flipping that seat so she can get that money brought to us. I will say Jonathan did bring a little bit of money in from the state to help with Hurricane Ian, but I still think that there's more to be brought to help recover from that. Barring that, you know, we have to admit that 98% of the climate scientists can't be wrong. You know, they know what they're doing, and we have to at least listen to them, which we're not doing now, I don't believe. And like I said, I have scientists in my phone right now ready to help me out when I do get into office. And we're going to put science first, and we're going to make the changes that we need to make. Sure.
You know, one thing from your bio that I think is really important is that you care for your mother. Such a huge proportion of people in this country are caring for an elderly family member. I imagine that's even more serious in Florida. What kind of needs do people have as a family caregiver? And what are you thinking about doing? How would you address that as a legislator?
I would actually put that in my health care plan. I should have remembered. That's one of the worst things about being a politician is trying to remember every little thing that you have to do. But I would actually make that part of the health care plan to address caretaker needs, give them a little bit of a raise because we don't make that much money. We don't make enough to cover what we need to cover for caring for our elderly parents. Make sure that the housing, like if you have to put your mother or father into a home, that those homes are safe and they're, your parents are well cared for. A lot of times we see that that's not the case and that there's elderly abuse in those homes. We're going to, you know, make sure that that's an issue that we address. You know, and just basically better healthcare. You know, our parents should be allowed to go see the doctor when they need to see the doctor and not have to worry about a copay or not have to worry about prescription prices and that kind of thing. So that's why we definitely have to get our healthcare system updated and upgraded to where every other country is at, because we as Americans pay the most for our healthcare and we get the worst outcomes across the country.
Yeah.
In Florida, especially.
I imagine when you're in Florida, because there's such an elderly population in certain communities, there's a growing need for that care. When you talk about your opponent and you talk about the legislature in general, are they doing anything to acknowledge and address those issues that you think you could piggyback on, or are they ignoring it like they're ignoring climate?
Yeah, they're pretty much ignoring it. You know, our Republican opponents are basically focused on the culture war issues, and that's all that they want to promote and, you know, talk about because they don't want to spend the money. Mm. You know, they're bought and paid for by the ultra-rich donors, and they just want to make sure that those donors get tax breaks and the rest of us are, you know, left out to dry, basically. So I could be wrong, but I haven't seen anything that they want to do to help fix healthcare or help fix affordable housing or any of the issues that are on the table.
Now, if you win, you can only talk about your particular seat. You know, you might win, and it's still a Republican legislature. It'll still be a Republican governor no matter what, because he's not up for election this year. So you may or may not be able to get things passed that you want. At the end of a term, how would you define success for you as a state legislator? Were you able to win?
If I was able to win at the end of my term, how would I define success? I would define it as looking at Florida as a whole and seeing where we can flip more seats and taking what I've learned in Lee County and putting that to Florida as a whole and making sure that we flip our more blue seats. I would also continue to work with our Republican congressmen across the aisle. I would explain to them that what needs to change, why it needs to change, and I would show my constituent and the constituents across Florida where our holdups are to get the things that we need to change. So that would be a measure of success that I would have. Another one is what I can pass. You know, I'm a working class guy. If I could pass one thing, I think that would be a success, but I plan on passing a lot of things and making sure that the working class people in Florida are taken care of. That's for sure.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Now it's called You Should Run. You've been encouraging people to run for office. You've been helping out other candidates, you said, talking with them for state legislature. Mm-hmm. As you look at the present moment, what do you think is the most important reason why people should run for office this year, especially for state legislatures, whether it's this year or in the coming years?
The most important reason is because we need the people, we need everyday people to get into the office and bring their ideas to the office, because when we share our ideas together, we win no matter what it is, because the discussion that takes place between multiple people will always bring out the best ideas. Running locally in your city or your county, that'll cause the most change, and you'll see the most change. Running into the state legislature, a lot of times, like you said, I believe, your county, you can tell your people because you know your people. And then the national people, you know them just off of the news and whatnot. But that state legislature often gets overlooked. And that's why we need people to run for the state. And that's why me personally and my team, we are making sure that every seat is filled. Not just the top, not just the bottom, but the middle as well. And when we get in and when we win, we're going to make sure that the middle takes care of as well as when we get in there.
Wonderful. Now, people can't help you until they know more about you. If people are interested in learning more, getting in touch, maybe supporting your campaign, where should they go to learn more online?
I actually do have a podcast of my own called Universal Basic Podcast. You can look that up wherever you get podcasts. I have a website, www.christopher-proia.com, and it's spelled Proia, P as in Peter, R-O-I-A. So christopher-proia.com. You know, and we're looking for volunteers. Every candidate needs money. And yeah, that's basically where you can find me. I'm also on Facebook as well.
Well, I encourage everyone to follow it. And lastly, Florida's always talked about as one of the most important states in the nation. It's ever since at least 2000 with that notorious election, and it's often been very close. Like obviously then with just a few hundred votes, or moving back and forth where it seems like it's competitive. Why do you think that Florida is so important this year?
I believe that Florida is important this year because when we flip Florida blue, the country will be blue. And actually, in my area, we're the biggest, city that's still red in Florida. So if we can flip my area blue, Florida flips blue and the country flips blue. And that's why it's important. Because if Trump gets in, if you read Project 2025, first of all, you won't sleep because you'll have nightmares. But secondly, you'll see why it's important that Democrats and progressives take the lead and flip this country blue.
Well, I agree. It's very concerning if he wins, and it's harder to get those coattails on the way down because people vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump and forget about things on the bottom. But it's easier if they come out and vote for you. They're more likely to vote for you know, the candidates are Congress and President above. So it's easier to percolate up than trickle down.
Absolutely.
Well, Chris, I wish you the best of luck, and I can't wait to learn more. So if you're listening, please follow Christopher Proia on Facebook, on his website, on social media. Thank you, Chris. And maybe if you're listening, you should run for office too. Chris, any final words?
No, just get out there, get active. Doesn't really matter what side you're on, because when we all work together, we all win. So that's pretty much all I like to say.
Great. Well, let's win together. Thank you very much.